Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I get why it would be needed, you know, a fee, but it's being called, it's being called an incentive. You know, we're just kind of charging them, but giving them, a nudge to sell it. But, I want to see every building full, but I don't see charging the property owner. I don't know. It's I'm kind of 50-50 there, but, sure. I just don't know if I can get behind that.
Yeah.
So Robert Leak, City Council Member Robert Leak in Milton, is, you can tell, is very conflicted. And what he's conflicted over is the vacant and abandoned property ordinance as proposed, which was proposed in order to eliminate some of the blight in the city, where you have these properties like the comic book store that's been empty for a long, long, long time. And nothing's being done with it. Nothing's being done there. It's, impeding development. It's not really generating revenue or employing people or, spinning off things like sales tax and all that. And what can you do if the business owners just want to sit and keep it and not do anything with it? Well, the proposal from the city of Milton, from, Stephen Presseter, economic development director, and Ed Spears, the city manager, is, let's put in a registry. If you have a property that's going to be vacant for 90 days, you have to register it as a vacant property. You pay $150 to put it on the registry. And then after, for the first year, it's $150, and then it's $250, and then it's $500, then it's $1,000, $2,000, and ultimately for every year after 6 years, it's $4,000 a year. And you have to put a sign up that says, here's who to contact in case there's problems. And you have to secure the doors and windows against people getting in there. Keep it clean, free of graffiti and safety hazards and that kind of stuff. And, so they were having a conversation about this. And Robert Leak is very conflicted about the idea of trying to, take people's property away, tell them what to do with it if they just want to hold it and not do anything. Mike Cusack?
I like it, personally. I've been here almost 10 years, and the downtown, my brother come in from Chicago, he goes, we walked to the Bands of the Blackwater a couple years ago. He goes, how come these buildings are, like, empty? They look like, you know what I'm saying? He goes,
yeah, it's a very understandable problem in any municipality. Any county has things that are vacant and sitting there and looking ugly, whether it's the medical facility on Palafox or the, the Grand Hotel. For goodness sakes, fish or cut bait, man, do something instead of keeping being in the way. And of course, the problem of them being in the way is, it's private property. And, you can't just go force them to do something. Again, Mike Cusack kind of likes this idea.
We want to have a nice downtown, so we have to incentivize. I agree. The question I got is, what happens if you send a letter and you send an assessment and they blow it off and they don't do anything? What's the recourse?
Yeah, because the friendly suggestion from the neighbors, hey, can you do something with your house? Because this applies to residences as well. Although there is a note that you can't foreclose on a residence, but if it's not being resided in by the owner, then it's not, if it's vacant by definition, it's not a homestead anymore, right? I mean, at some point, it wouldn't be a homestead anymore if nobody's actually living in it. Anyway, so what's the recourse if they don't comply with the gentle nudge of, hey, brother, why don't you register your vacant property? Or as I've been kind of doing that today, hey, brother, why don't you register your property with our gentle suggestion list?
As it's managed by code enforcement, we can put a lien on the house.
It becomes a code enforcement issue in violation of the policy, and we could assess fines and eventually lien the property.
Okay, so,
yep. So we're going to put fines, we're going to lien. Liens lead to foreclosure, right? This is the beginning of the taking. Right? It's a gentle nudge in the beginning, but it's a gentle nudge with a back end that says eminent domain on it, right? Or not even eminent domain. If they don't pay, it's just liens foreclosure, right? That's not even eminent domain, is it?
Keep assessing fines and fines and fines, and where does it stop?
When we
close in on a lane and foreclose on a lane.
Foreclose on it? Okay.
There it is.
I'm just curious. And that applies to residential? Because I know a nice residential.
The way it's currently written, it's for... The way it's currently written, it's for all, although you can't foreclose on homesteaded property in Florida. Okay. So there is that limitation.
But again, I think if it's vacant for a duration, it's not even a homestead anymore. I'm not sure how that would interact, but that's only, of course, with residences. What about with businesses? And again, I've said this before. I covered this at the 5 o'clock, and we'll cover it again at 7, because there's a lot of interesting commentary and quotes on this from people who are in the conversation. Ed Spears, city manager, good guy, trying his best to do what council wants. Smart guy, definitely knows economic development. Stephen Presslater, same thing. I think everybody who's in this conversation is good people trying to do good things. But nobody has quite stood up and said, dudes, it's private property. As good of an idea as this sounds like, it's still private property. And even if it's legal under Florida law to do this, it's not right to do this because it's just slow eminent domain. That's all this is slow eminent domain, or, you know, as I've been calling, kind of gentle socialism. You know, it might take you a couple years to ramp up enough to motivate people, but, you know, when the government's coming to help, the government's not coming to help. It's coming to pressure and take, ultimately.
I told you one of my priorities, and you all agreed that I should go down that path, is the appearance of our community. And that's why we transitioned from reactive code enforcement to proactive code enforcement. In my thought process, this is the logical next step.
We'll come back to this in a second. Your thoughts, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So you've heard me talk about this a little bit. John, am I missing something here, or is this, I mean, if you're the community, of course you want the comic book store, you know,
right?
Of course you want businesses that have been boarded up for 20 years to be developed. Of course you want that. But if you're the business owner and I come to you and say, hey, bro, do it or else, you're going to react well to that?
Oh, no.
I mean, if you want to develop it, buy it. Well, they don't want to sell it. That's what it means to own things.
Shh, don't tell no one.
That's literally what it means to own a thing, is you don't have to sell it, right? And that's the problem. It's the real problem. You know, things that don't get developed and don't get maintained all that well, or even if they do get maintained, like, enough to not have code violations, is annoying. But private property means the right to be annoying. Just like speech means the right to say annoying things.
It carries different whenever you ask that property owner that, hey, the city is here to help. And whenever that property owner declines that help, you leave the city no choice. We have to move forward.
Well, the other choice is to do nothing. There is a choice. You can either socialism, take it, or you can capitalism, endure the problem of having neighbors who won't do what you want with their property. Again, Gavin Hawthorne.
But how awesome would it be to have the neighboring businesses look as just as great as Boomerang?
Totally,
I think,
agree.
Everybody would agree to have that. So how do we do that? Well, we have to do some type of enforcement. Now, whether it has to be strict enforcement or it has to be, hey, we're here to help you.
Or else.
But if you don't incline that help, then we have to move forward as a city. We can't move forward in year 2040 when my kids are having their own kids and I still have the same comic book store that's still vacant, that's still not serving any purpose. And that's just my personal opinion. Nothing against that property owner at all. But for me personally, living here my entire life, that's all I've seen. I've seen nothing else. So I support the program.
But again, if they don't want your help, that's what it means to own a thing. And this cracked me up. Larry McKee, again, I want to give Robert Leake some credit. He was the only one to halfway object. And it was halfway. He was very conflicted. Everybody else is sold on this. Cool. Let's do it.
I know I have listened to individuals in the public speak loud and clear about needing something in place to make improvements, to kind of force a hand. I also know in the today's environment, it's very, very difficult to say, hi, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. Okay. Now, how well does that go over? You have to convince them that you're truly there to help them get through this. If they're not willing to accept the help, that's a whole different game. Just like you were saying, that's a whole different game. You have to find a way to make an incentive for them to do it.
Or do nothing. You don't have to find a way to make them bend to your will, comrade. You do not have to make a way. You do not have to force them to register on the list. You can just say, well, I guess tough for us. Yeah, listen, I love the end goal of this program. The end goal of eliminating blight and developing properties and getting rid of boarded up things and making a beautiful downtown. Great. Wonderful. Beautiful. And frankly, I think that like Marilyn Farrow earlier had raised the problem of the fee structure is too low to really move the needle, you know, because who cares about $250 a year? Well, true. If you really want to make this work, you make it like a percentage of the ad valorem, like you make an ad valorem. You know, you give them $250 the first year. Second year, it's a, you know, it's a mill, then 2 mills, then 3 mills. I mean, you know, because by the way, big properties, what is it? You know, what's a $5 million building going to care if there is one? What are they going to care about even a $1,000 fine, right? Now, but I would oppose the program because you cannot do that. You should not do that. You might be able to legally, but you should not do it. That's what private property means. And I love that Larry McKee gets the Ronald Reagan quote exactly backwards. Right. I mean, he remembers the Reagan quote, but
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yes. Reagan was explaining how bad that was. You know, Reagan was himself moderately anti-socialist, if you remember. And Larry McKee recognizes it. Usually that doesn't persuade people all that well. And he's right.
How do you bring businesses and people to this city if you have that type of environment that they're trying to come into? You're right. If you have a great store, Boomerang Pizza, and yet next door to them, they may be just, oh, I've been abandoned. I'm just going to let it go to crap. I'm not going to pay to have anything hooked up.
Okay, but also, how do you bring businesses in when you're telling them in advance, hey, if you don't do what we want, you know, tough for you. We're gonna lean you into non-existence, Robert Leak.
But what is the help that you're offering to a vacant property owner?
If I can assist them in guiding them in the process of getting to sell the property, to identify what that needs are.
We're from the government. We're here to help. And again, Stephen Presslater is a good guy, smart guy, trying to do right by the city. So is Ed Spears. But Robert Leak is asking the right question. How is it help if your message is register, pay a fine or fee, which is a fine, and then pay a greater fee every year, and if eventually you don't pay that enough, then we're going to just take your property from you. What are you offering them? Well, we'll help them with you know, residential rehab, or you know, we'll help them with improved business facade. We'll help them with this and this. Okay, but if they don't want any of that, what's your help? Your help is a threat. This program helps via threat. And that's the question. Is that appropriate?
Looking at buildings that no one is in, vacant. The comic book store. Mm-hmm. I think the lawyer's office is empty now next to where Honeycomb was. Mm-hmm. Five and Dime. And then you can just move around from there. You're going to go to them, and you're going to try to help them sell it first.
No, I'm going to talk to them first.
Or you're going to...
Just identify what their plans are.
Because what I can tell you right now, no one's going to them. I've sent letters to everyone.
Yeah.
They're not responding.
But they're not interested in selling.
Maybe they haven't responded.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean...
But maybe no one from the city's had an open conversation.
They don't want to become the government that's coming to these property owners and saying, sell your property.
The primary focus would never be to get them to sell their property. The primary focus is to say, the city cares about how your building looks. We want to work with you, but we need to know what your plans are. If your plans are to let this fall down on itself, you know, demolition by neglect, we can't allow that to happen.
But that's a common thing. And listen, this is a problem all over the U.S. It's a problem in Escambia County. It's a problem in the city of Pensacola. It's a problem in Santa Rosa County. It's a problem in Milton. It's a problem everywhere. people who don't do enough or anything with their properties. Vacant properties are a problem all over. And by the way, the map that was included in the backup for this is there's a lot, which is not surprising. There are a lot of abandoned and vacant properties in Milton. Just like there are a lot in Pensacola, there are a lot. And, you know, the other side of this is, and I keep using the example, but think about the Grand Hotel or the medical complex on Palafox. Like, it sucks when people don't take care of their stuff and do what is beneficial to the community. But do we live in a place where people own it and they can do or not do as they want to? Or do we live in a place where if they don't do what we want them to do with it, we can take it? I mean, the fundamental principles of our system of government are to protect life, liberty, and property. Property. And although I'm kind of joking around with the, you know, the German voice, but it, you know, it sounds nice. And again, I totally agree with the goal, but there are certain things you can't do. Even if the law allows you, it's not right. And I think that most people in Santa Rosa County particularly, and in Milton particularly, business owners particularly, will probably have that take on this. And he said it later. I'll cover this next hour. But, you know, Robert Leake had a kind of a hot mic moment where, you know, he's like, I think if people vote for this, you know, they're going to get taken to the shed in the election. I think he's right, especially if it gets publicized on a radio show, because nobody else has covered this yet that I know of. John, am I wrong? Am I reading Milton wrong?
Oh, no, you're not.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get your text here in just a minute. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free if you're on I-10 right now eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see a minor delay through that construction zone. But other than that, things are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody says, my husband and I tried to rent one of the buildings downtown, put a little diner in, and wanted more rent per square foot than we could manage. People are too greedy with their property. Somebody says, horrible idea. It's private property. Somebody says, sounds like a slippery slope. Where can they do next? Nothing's beautiful enough. Right. Somebody says, this is America. We Americans don't like being told what to do with what we own. Somebody says, it's opening the door for property owners to stop being neighborly and give a middle finger to others around. Next step, a comic store doesn't make enough money, so we're forcing them to do more money by changing their business or doing something else. The slippery slope is undefeated. Somebody says all they got to do is rent it to their family member for $1 a year to avoid the fees. Well, if somebody's living in there, is it causing structural issues? What's the issue with next door? Well, fire hazard is one of the issues, but just generally economic, you know, it doesn't look good to have somebody next door. I'm Andrew McKay.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 8th through the 10th. Presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risks. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. you still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Now, it is true. There's all kinds of restrictions on how you use your property and how you run your business. But when you start applying those things after the fact at the threat of a lien and or a taking, they become things like, you know, Burt Harris issues or eminent domain issues. Anyway, David Wayne will have your local news coming up next. I just thought we ought to spend some time on this because it's not just a Milton thing. It's a how do you solve this problem everywhere? I totally get why they're trying to do it or considering doing it.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. U.S. forces expected to be helping ships trapped in the Strait of Hormuz as part of Project Freedom.
The president calls it a humanitarian effort to safely guide some 800 cargo ships and tankers and their 20,000 crew members safely out of the Strait of Hormuz. The president says these stranded ships are running out of food and supplies and are merely neutral bystanders in this whole thing.
Fox's Brian Yenis. Three passengers are dead, several others ill after a hantavirus outbreak on a cruise ship.
The deaths are being put down to hantavirus, a rare infection usually passed to humans by rodents. The outbreak happened on board the MV Hondius on a trip from southern Argentina to the Cape Verde Islands off West Africa. Last year, hantavirus killed actor Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got right now clear skies and it is 56 degrees. We'll get a full look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. One person has died following an early morning house fire. Escambia Fire Rescue responded to a home in the 400 block of Winthrop Avenue just before 2 a.m. this morning where they found heavy flames throughout a home. Fire crews pulled one adult from the burning structure. That victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Navy Fire also assisted with the response so far. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. Hurricane Preparedness Week runs through May 9th. Escambia County Emergency Management is urging residents to use this time to get ready before the Atlantic hurricane season officially begins June 1st. Officials recommend knowing your evacuation zone at myescambia.com/knowyourzone, building a 7-day emergency supply kit, establishing a family communication plan, signing up for county emergency alerts. Each day of the week focuses on different preparedness topics shared on the county's emergency management social media pages. Spirit Airlines ceased all operations as of Saturday morning. That left thousands of passengers stranded all across the nation, put 17,000 Spirit employees out of work. The discount carrier canceled all of their upcoming flights and shut down their customer service. In Pensacola, at least one traveler is now stuck trying to retrieve her luggage from a locked Spirit office at the Pensacola International Airport with nobody available to help. Chicago resident Liz Schwarting told Channel 3 that her boyfriend's luggage was locked inside of that office and nobody had a key. The claims portal is no longer active. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy did say several U.S. carriers will cap fares for stranded passengers, but so far there's no official guidance on luggage claims. The Catholic Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee has opened a new tiny home community on West Garden Street. It's aimed at keeping low-income seniors off the streets. Trinity Village features 9 fully equipped homes, just under 300 square feet each, rent set at $500 for those, including utilities. The diocese says so far more than 70 people have applied for the 9 units. Bishop William Wack says the project took years to develop on diocese-owned land and was funded entirely through private donations. The first residents at that tiny home community are expected to move in within the next few weeks. A Melbourne, Florida man has been sentenced to 2 consecutive life terms for producing child sexual abuse material in a case that led to the rescue of 6 kids in the Philippines. Casey Cadill, who was already on sex offender probation for a prior child sexual abuse material conviction, was arrested after investigators traced uploads on the Kick app to his home. A review of his devices revealed he was paying a woman in the Philippines via PayPal to sexually exploit her own children and directing her through Telegram messages. A joint federal and international operation led to the woman's arrest and the rescue of all 6 kids. She remains in custody overseas, awaiting prosecution. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right, still rolling accident-free. Just some minor delays right now on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Experiencing about just a 6-minute delay there, nothing big. Highway 90 looks good right now. Highway 29 is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, mostly clear skies as you head through that afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high and overnight dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, another lovely, mostly sunny sky day, high near 79 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Wednesday, a few more clouds through the area, 30% chance of some stray sprinkles with a high near 83 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got clear skies right now. It's 56 degrees. Your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Customers are still reeling after Spirit Airlines announced it has gone out of business after 34 years. The ultra-low-cost airline employed about 17,000 people. Other airlines, including American, United, and Delta, are offering discounts and capped airfares for Spirit customers. FIFA is raising payouts to participating teams by an additional $2 million each. With a revised financial distribution structure, June's World Cup is set to be the most lucrative on record. These increments, however, come as football's governing body faces other questions over its finances. Treasury yields rose this morning as traders awaited more data on U.S. factory activity, and events in the Middle East continued to loom over borrowing costs. The 10-year Treasury yield was more than 1 basis point higher at 4.3979%. Futures are slightly lower as the Iran war continues. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 152, the NASDAQ up 222. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money.
Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barberry Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Hey, you know, you always hear me talking about Frontier Motors and having great quality used cars like Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. The bumper stickers and license plate frames recommend them. You know, cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, 10 to 40,000 miles in great condition. And of course, they sell a lot of these cars, about half of their inventory every month. 300 cars, they sell about 150 every month. Well, that means they have to buy 150 every month. Now, of course, they go looking all over the place. They, like, the car we bought actually came from an auction in Orlando. We happen to know because it was a pre-owned certified from Honda. But a lot of times they buy cars just from people like you. So if you are the kind of person that, you know, like you always buy a new one and then you trade it in a year or two, you know, whatever, or you, whatever, go to Frontier. They'll give you a good price for that car. If it is the kind of car they buy, which, again, is in good condition. You know, they don't buy clunkers because they don't sell clunkers. So they only sell good quality cars. So if you have that kind of car and you want a good price for it, they'll offer it to you. It takes about 15 minutes, really no big deal. Now, if you want a little bit higher price and you're not as urgent to sell it, you do it to them on consignment. They'll do that too. No fee for that. A lot easier and a lot less inconvenience and also a lot, you know, less kind of risk of having to do it on Facebook Marketplace or whatever, how people sell cars these days. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring new spring menus at Jackson's and Angelina's, celebrate Mother's Day at Great Southern, celebrate Juneteenth at Five Sisters, and the 12th Annual Craft Beer Festival at the Fish House. All Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. On News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and this is the Sheriff's Report. Well, today we have a theme, and that theme is, if you help a felon, you become a felon. And I have two examples for you. On April the 12th, we had a shooting at Oakwood Terrace. We had two individuals that were shot, and we ended up arresting three people, two males and one female. There's a little video I want to show you, and as you can see in the video, we ended up arresting that one female, Kiana Kashera Pitts, and charged her with principal to attempted murder. As you can see on this video clip, she hands a handgun to another fella, and that guy goes and gets involved in the shootout.
Hands it to another fella. Yeah, this girl in the shower cap running around this sports car. I think it's a Challenger, but I'm not great with identifying some cars. So there's like a best as I could make out. And I'm glad I don't have to live my life figuring out these videos that the police look at, because it's always like, what's that? Zoom in. You know, anyway, and then it becomes grainy. But she basically gives a gun that either, I don't know, was brought in the car, had been dropped, I don't know, not clear, but to me, or I don't remember, but it gives the gun to one of the other people. Now go back to the fight, son, you know, like, you cannot do that. And then there was another, I don't know if it was that gun or a different gun, had gotten dropped, and so she's, you know, collecting that, you know, which is tampering with evidence. So, yeah, you can't do either of those things, so now you become the criminal. You know, I'm just, all I'm doing is reloading the mag. Yeah, you're part of it.
Also, tamper with evidence in that, as you can see on this next little piece, that she went and picked up a firearm from another injured individual, and then she discarded that firearm. So she's charged with principal to attempt murder and also tampering with evidence.
Good Lord. And that wasn't the only one. There was a second issue, a completely unrelated incident. Well, I mean, I guess unrelated.
Also on March the 4th, if you recall, we were looking for Devin Williamson. Devin had been on the run for a couple of weeks, and we couldn't arrest him. We couldn't capture him. He had left the Pensacola area, the Escambia County area, and then he was on the run for a while. Why? Because the event took place on March the 4th. The very next day, on March the 5th, the lady that you see right here, her name is Sonia Cross McAdoo. She's the mother of Devin Williamson, and she came to town from Montgomery, picked him up, took him across state lines, took him to Montgomery, and then ultimately he went from Montgomery to Houston and then to Phoenix, and then he was trying to get to El Paso.
Yeah, and even if there's no mom exception for the aiding and abetting after the fact for a fleeing felon, it's not going to cut it for you against the criminal charges.
So we believe that she knew that what had occurred. She knew that her son was wanted. She knew what he had done, and she obviously was accessory to murder after the fact, and she was charged as such. So, again, those are two examples of if you help a felon, you become a felon, you get charged as a felon. We'll see you next time.
Well, I mean, maybe she didn't know. She just knew he needed a ride. Here, there, everywhere, to Arizona. No, I mean, right? So I love it. If you help a felon, you become a felon. Unfortunately, that is true. Well, fortunately, I mean, that's how the law works. NAS Pensacola Access. This is a really interesting note that came out Saturday, is that public visitation to the Naval Air Station is now back to weekdays, 9 to 3, through the West Gate, as long as you have real ID or a U.S. passport. So that means you can go watch Blue Angels practices now. Right? And they came back early yesterday, like 11 or something, I think. We were over doing our bike ride, missed it. I have asked for clarification about this. I have not yet received an answer. I am, I'll say, 90% sure that this means that the previous policy of having to go through the Visitor Control Center first is no longer in place. Everything about this indicates that policy is no longer in place. It specifies go to the West Gate. It specifies you got to have real ID or U.S. passport. It specifies about it. Just that I would have preferred it to also say this means you don't have to go to the front gate anymore. They didn't say that specifically, so I have followed up.
Is Barrancas included in that?
No. If you're going to go to Barrancas, you do still have to go to the VCC because that's inside the control perimeter.
Okay.
The base is in two parts. There's the kind of public access area, and then there's the, you know, the secured area, which is kind of like the eastern, I don't know, half or so. There's a checkpoint right near the advance redoubt that's right where you go through the checkpoint if you're driving through the main road. And east of there, you cannot go, and Barrancas is east of there.
Yeah.
Also, AC Reed, like the golf course is east of there. So if you're going to play the golf course, you got to go through the VCC. Anyway, so I believe this means we're back to sort of normal before. This also should mean that anything for Navy Days would be open back up. Although, if you're going to the gala on Friday, I know you had to go through this process. I mean, I did because I got a DD-5512, but that's after hours, so you still have to go through that process. But for normal visitation, like for going to the museum or going through Blue Angels, it looks like you can just go through the West Gate, which is great news. And I'm sure that the base, you know, command staff has been like itching to, you know, push in this direction and probably had to basically convince the higher-ups that this is what needs to happen. So I'm assuming that backstory here. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. Good job. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, just as an FYI, I had invited them to come on to kind of talk about this stuff when it first changed. But we're in a weird place with the Department of War right now where they've been kind of discouraging, you know, people from doing a lot of the media and PR, and it's kind of a slow evolution back towards, you know, like if you're running a base Facebook page, you know, and we're in the middle of a war, you're not doing the same sort of happy, fluffy kind of stuff that you used to do. If you've noticed, some of the Facebook pages and security things have been different. I think some of that's kind of pendulum is swinging back a little bit to normal, but I'm guessing, you know, I have not been told this at all, but I'm guessing that there was sort of a gentle discouragement from doing a lot of press right now for, I mean, reasons that make sense. I mean, it's a war, and plus some of the heightened security because of the incursion. So anyway, just context around some of the decisions that have been made recently. Hey, if you have a home and you're thinking about selling it or want to sell it, or you want to buy a home or buy for the first time, you want to buy a second home, you want to buy a beach home, you want to move to the city, whatever the case may be, or again, you're first, you're upsizing, you're downsizing. If it's residential real estate, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They sold 209 homes last year, which is crazy. In the peak of the market, they were selling over 200, and then, you know, things got harder. And it was 175, and then it was 165, then last year back up to 209, which means they're back up in the same down market. The market that is challenging everybody, they have found a way to succeed and thrive. Part of it is, frankly, because of the way they do things, experience, obviously, but also sometimes other realtors cannot get a house sold, you know, and so they are the second realtor or the fourth realtor or, in two cases, the sixth realtor, and I kid you not, in one case, the eighth realtor. Like, somebody had gone to seven other realtors, couldn't get their house sold. I can't imagine going to a second realtor. Like, the amount of frustration you would experience just not selling. And there's nothing worse than not selling a house, right? Because you've gone through all the problems, and now you're just waiting, and your life's on hold. And so second, third, fourth. Anyway, Christina says she takes over these listings all the time, gets things sold. She had one that was, I think it was Navarre. They said it could not be sold for more than $499. $499 is the price. So she raised the price to like $650 and sold it within 10 days for cash. Because, you know, you just got to know how to, sorry, $625. I don't want to exaggerate. Anyway, knowledge, experience, getting you all the way through to closing. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
Kicking back when the sun goes down.
This week, Southern Breeze blows into Pensacola Beach with their original blend of rock and country, acoustic, and southern rock hits at Bands on the Beach at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets and no glass.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be. You will be.
Happy May the 4th be with you. 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3.
And also with you.
Thank you. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne, who has possibly the weirdest brag I've ever heard, if he wants to share it. I don't know if he's willing or not, but was that shared in confidence with me?
Well, no, it's not a big secret. I just, I've never really seen the Star Wars
movies. When you say you never really seen Star Wars, you mean... You've never seen Star Wars?
No, I've never seen Star Wars.
Any of the Star Wars?
Not any of them, no.
And your reason being?
Well, I was just...
Justify yourself!
To everyone. I was more of a Star Trek fan, okay?
I'm a Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek. I love all the science fiction. So you haven't seen Star Wars because you feel like it'd be disloyalty to Star Trek?
Yes.
You'd be cheating on Star Trek.
I know.
Like you'd have to go back to William Shatner and be like...
Sorry, no, bro.
I've been seeing Mark Hamill on the side. I spent some time with George Lucas over the weekend, and I just didn't want to keep it from you.
I couldn't explain
don't
it.
Don't want to have that
Picard,
conversation.
You know?
All right, so Gene Roddenberry. Fine. Okay. So, but like, Any other things you haven't seen?
I really haven't seen any of the other space franchises.
What?
You know,
Spaceballs,
Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I've seen Spaceballs.
Okay,
yeah, I've seen Spaceballs.
Okay, so you've seen things that make fun of Star Wars.
Yes.
Family Guy Star Wars episode. Okay.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
How would you get the jokes? It's all jokes about Star Wars. You got to know the Star Wars to know the jokes.
Not really, no.
Okay,
still Family Guy humor.
Battlestar Galactica?
No, Battlestar.
Nothing with star in it that's not Star Trek.
No Stargate, nothing like that.
Okay.
We love you.
All right.
Maybe someday.
It's a weird flex, but all right, there it is. David, go ahead with the news, sir.
Well, the U.S. military has now begun escorting stranded ships through the Strait of Hormuz under an operation that President Trump is calling Project Freedom. Iran, of course, quickly responded and said that any American military forces approaching or entering the strait would be subjected to attack. And Tehran apparently also claiming that it's turned back a U.S. destroyer attempting to enter the waterway. I have doubts about that claim.
Same. And they're claiming, I think it's, I mean, assuming the same ship, they're saying they hit it with two cruise missiles.
It doesn't seem likely.
You say a lot of things that turn out to be completely bogus.
Some news about former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Apparently, he's in the hospital in critical condition at this time. A spokesman for Giuliani said in a statement that he's in stable condition, but no update as to what happened as of yet. And an interesting lawsuit getting into its next stage today in New Mexico. It's the Meta lawsuit. They lost round one to the New Mexico Attorney General. A judge now has to decide on remedies for the lawsuit. And if the judge imposes child safety requirements, Meta says they may block access to all of their platforms in New Mexico.
We'll see. There's a lot of that right now in the social media world. David, thank you so much for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. By the way, on the news related to social media, a totally different slice of this issue in Australia. And I don't think they have passed this into effect yet, but they are basically threatening to pass a law that would impose a journalism tax on Meta and YouTube and TikTok. Meta, Google and TikTok, not YouTube, although I maybe would apply to YouTube as well. But the premise is that all of these companies are using the information generated by journalists in order to further their platforms, and therefore they ought to pay some kind of a fee to those journalists or those news organizations. Kind of like how the AI just steals everybody's information, repackages it, and learns. And, you know, then the people who produce the original stuff don't get any benefit from that. Especially now where, like, Google is actively promoting the AI summary instead of the links, right? That's the first thing you see is don't go to the link, don't pay for the web clicks or for the ads that you might see on the original news source, but we'll just give you the information here for free. That's not even paying them. 2.25% of their revenue is what they're proposing here. $250 million Australian, which is about $150-$180 U.S. Which they say that was about as much as the platforms paid news outlets when the news media bargaining code was working at its peak, which I guess was a revenue sharing or a pay for service kind of agreement that they might have had back in the past. In 2021, they had a news media bargaining code that got passed, and now that that's gone away, apparently that's kind of what they're efforting to replace. And of course, you know, the big companies are saying this is crazy. The idea that we take their news content is simply wrong. This is Meta. This proposed legislation, which would apply to platforms regardless of whether the news content even appears on our services, is nothing more than a digital services tax. A government-mandated transfer of wealth from one industry to another with no connection to the value exchange will not deliver a sustainable or innovative news sector. Instead, it will create a news industry dependent on a government-administered subsidy scheme. Well, said the people who are stealing the news content. You know, so they're not interested in revenue sharing. They want to get their thing for free. So I don't know whether it's going to get implemented fully. I don't know what the lawsuit, I'm assuming they will go to court to try to stop this. Part of their argument is that this is, you know, a lot of these are U.S. companies and American news media and so forth, that it wouldn't apply to them. We'll see. It's an interesting model if they are forced to subsidize the underlying content creation that comes from people who are professional content creators. Because you know that maybe you don't think about this, but you don't get paid for your content on social media. You do it voluntarily because you think it's worth doing it to express yourself in a platform that you didn't have to create. Like, you don't have to buy the infrastructure for a newspaper, a website, you know, you just, a radio station, TV station. You just go on, you know, Facebook or Instagram or TikTok and you make yourself and people like, and you think that's worth doing, which is why you do it for free. They don't pay you. And in fact, you pay them by giving them your information to which they use to advertise to you, right? You both create the content and you give them access to your information. You create an advertising venue for them. So the value to you is, well, you like it, which is why you do it for free. And the theory here is that the stuff that's put on the web, whether it's in behind or in front of a paywall, either way, it's designed to be, you know, used for some kind of compensation. At the very least, it's ads or it's web clicks or whatever, which is a very low grade compensation, but it's something. And they're not even compensating with that anymore, and that's kind of the idea of it. I don't know where I stand on this. Like, should we do this in the United States or not? I hate to see the eradication of local journalism, which has happened in the modern technological environment. My suspicion is that if you tried to do this, they'd just sort of refuse and block. And, you know, there's enough bad private journalism out there. There's some good private journalism out there as well. But, you know, it's just probably the slow-grade ending of regular old newspaper and TV and radio journalism, unfortunately. I hope that's not the case, and I certainly believe we do a good enough job here that it won't be for us, but, you know, there's a lot of struggle out there. Let's put it that way.